It's a Thursday. John Iadarola, Cenk Uygur with you guys. Oh, so we could do that. Hold on now. I know. This is.
I got nothing. Okay, there was. I can't carry all those weapons. This is an Halo.
You're kicking me out the door.
That last one was random. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Here's what's happening. Anna's out. I don't know. Anyway.
Dead sick. Dead sick.
Yeah. So John and I are doing both hours, but
we're both sick, but not Anna sick.
That's right. And I don't know if it's a but or because the second hour is filled with sex.
No, it's not. It's like two stories.
It is filled to the rim with sex.
Oh no. Wait. Compared to most second hours in 2016, yes, it's filled with sex. Compared to 2008. It is the most boring, dry, Mormon second hour ever.
Well, I hear you, brother, but 2008 is a long time ago. So, stories I love in the second hour, and then I'll get to the first hour in a second. Who has more sexual satisfaction? People who fall in love at first sight or the opposite? That's a great story. It's a great story, and it has life lessons beyond sex. So, I don't want you to miss that one. The second sex story about the brand that's like the most graphic ad campaign I've ever seen in my entire life.
Me too, probably.
Also has lessons beyond sex, because I think it has a lot to do with what the direction the brands are going and should be going. Okay, and then you're gonna love the Mike Pence story that I think you teased last night on Old School, John.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, about. When you can go to dinner with or without your wife. Ah, it's such a good story. God, I love the second hour. Second hour today is amazing.
You know what? Let's skip the first hour.
Let's go straight to the second. And then the lead poisoning story. Also, I told you. I've
been trying to get on the rundown.
I told you. Okay, so that's in the second hour. And all I told you about it was that I told you. Okay, now. First.
JR, roll the video of him telling them.
Yeah, first hour. Republicans circular firing squad, Huckabee versus Graham. Okay, and bigotry, discrimination at each other. Then we go to North Carolina. We have a compromise bill on the bathroom bill. Is that a worthy compromise? Should we be happy, not happy? Let alone what's happening to Planned Parenthood and what Mike Pence's role in that. It's a crazy show.
It's too much show.
Okay.
It's too much show.
Having said all that, Bernice Panders, Chris G, thank you. We got your gifts and you're awesome. Super, super appreciated. Okay. Now, on top of all that, we start with, actually, we're going to start with your quick hits before the super serious.
We are. Okay. Lots to get to. Oh, that's 2 feet to the side. And that was enough to throw me off there. A supervisor at the Energy Department's Office of International Climate and Clean Energy, so has to do with the climate, has to do with clean energy, told staffers that they cannot use the phrases climate change, emissions reduction, or Paris Agreement in any written materials they use from now on. Again, reminder, it's the Office of International Climate and Clean Energy. They can't talk about any of those things anymore. That's the Trump administration. There you go.
That, you know what that is? That is literal political correctness. So the two groups that did political correctness and where that term arose from were the Soviets and the Nazis. So they would send memos just like that one where they would say, here are the words that are no longer allowed. And these are the politically correct phrases that you can use. They're not factually correct. These are the politically, politically correct terms to use. So now the political correctness is, of course, brought to us by the right wing here, and have now erased certain parts of the lexicon, not because they don't exist, but because they're not allowed to be spoken politically.
Exactly. An update on a story we reported on a couple of weeks ago. The recently impeached South Korean president, Park Geun-hye, has been arrested on 13 charges, including bribery, abuse of power, and leaking confidential information. So very quickly went from the Supreme Court upholding the impeachment to a warrant out for her arrest. So they take this stuff very seriously in South Korea.
Apparently there were chance of lock her up.
And they might.
Yes. If only that could have happened to more world leaders. I'm not saying where,
Wait and find out what happened.
Okay.
Additionally, a judge in Hawaii has extended a broad block of Trump's travel ban, the second version of it, converting the temporary restraining order that a previous judge had put on into a preliminary injunction. So they had tried to overturn the block on the ban, and no, block continues. Good news.
Yes. So Hawaii, as usual, delivering. There's now free and fair elections legislation in Hawaii as well, which you guys should support.
Interesting.
Hawaii@wolf-pack.com. Did I mention that?
Okay. Yeah. And finally, a $5 billion sale of 19 F-16s from the US to Bahrain has been approved and will happen after they dropped previous requirements that the country curb human rights abuses and stop their crackdowns on political and religious dissidents inside of the country. So previously, we were going to sell them all these jets if they got their house in order. But then we realized, well, they're probably not going to do it. And we really want to sell them the planes. So screw the human rights stuff. We'll just sell it to them.
Well, I mean, we don't even know if they weren't going to do it. Just Trump came in and said, who cares? It's all about the money.
Exactly. Yeah,
so,
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah. Human rights abuses. Well, we do human rights abuses. We're bombing civilians in Somalia, Yemen, Iraq, Syria. So what? So Bahrain does human rights abuses. Who cares? But I will point out for all you Trump supporters out there, remember how he said he was going to protect Christians? In Bahrain, they're cracking down on religious dissidents. Some of which might not be Muslim, but Christian. Oops. Now Trump says, hey, am I making money or am I not making money? I don't give a damn about you and your religion. I'm moving forward, even if that religion is Christianity.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're going to turn in just a second to those civilian casualties. But you had something you wanted to get to, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were teasing something earlier on. So you know what? Why don't we just jump into it right now?
Yes.
Civilian casualties in Syria and Iraq and other countries where the US is currently militarily engaged has been one of the largely unspoken tragedies over the past few years. Huge numbers of civilians dying in airstrikes and drone strikes, very rarely getting any coverage. And we knew that as we transitioned to Donald Trump, that was only going to get worse because he made clear during the campaign that he doesn't give a damn about the deaths of civilians. But I don't think anyone predicted how bad it was going to get and how fast it was going to happen. So let's look at some recent numbers over the past few months. Let's bring up this first chart. And you're going to see there, the month that we're in right now is that last bar. The number shooting up of civilian deaths linked to coalition airstrikes in just Iraq and Syria. This isn't even all the countries that we're engaged in. And so those numbers leading up to then, I mean, you have different categories there. Some are still contested because they literally just happened in the past week. We'd reported on last week, 200 deaths in one bombing, dozens in another bombing. But many of those will be verified very soon. And just going back 4 or 5 years now, he's managed in just a couple of months to make Obama look like he deserved his Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Which he most certainly did.
And what's really interesting is that this isn't just, you know, he said, we're really going to stick it to ISIS. And so maybe they're just doing way more airstrikes. And so you'd expect, because we're not that careful, a lot of civilians will die. But it's not actually that. Because if you bring up this next chart, you're going to see that the actual numbers of missions being flown is not higher. In fact, it's lower, especially in Syria. It apparently is a result of simply taking the gloves off, as they would say, a euphemism for no longer caring about whether civilians die. And we have some other news and where this policy might be extended to in the future. But isn't it ridiculous that it didn't take him more than a couple of months to blow Obama's records out of the water?
Yeah, but let me give you a sense of what it actually means. Because some conservatives might look at that and go like, yeah, I killed more jihadis over there. No, we're not talking about jihadis. We're talking about civilians.
Kids.
So 200 Iraqi civilians were killed in a US airstrike this week in Mosul. 200 Iraqis are supposed to be our allies. Remember, we went to go liberate them. 200 civilians killed in Mosul because we took the gloves off. But we were supposed to take the gloves off against the terrorists. But Trump is indifferent. Remember, he said he killed their family members. So he's like, who cares? Terrorists, civilians, good guys, bad guys, they all look Arab to me. And I know there's some right wingers out there going, yeah, right? So, but for the rest of us who are human beings, we ought to take this into account. We killed dozens of Syrian civilians in the Raqqa province a few days before that when we targeted a school. Oh. Now they say, oh no, the bad guys were taking refuge inside a school. Let's say a couple of bad guys are taking refuge near a school in your neighborhood.
you bomb the school and kill the people inside the school because there's a couple of bad guys in there? If it's our civilians, aren't we 1,000 times more careful? I hope we are, right? But they're civilians. Who cares? Who are? I can't tell
them apart
anyway.
They don't see them the same way. Yeah. They don't apply the same value to people there. Whether they're conservative or even a lot of liberals in government, once you get involved in this, you run these missions, you sit in those meetings, you do dehumanize these people almost regardless of your ideology.
We're going to make them human and real to you in a second by showing you pictures. But a week earlier, from all the things that I had just told you, there was also a destruction of a mosque in Aleppo that also killed dozens of civilians. So one after another after another. So
and we reported on that, and at that point, the US military said that they were not involved. Turns out that probably wasn't the case.
Yeah, and so you're not hearing about dozens of more terrorists killed. You're just hearing about dozens of more civilians killed, sometimes hundreds of more civilians killed. So in that Yemen raid, which was famously botched, and we lost one of our own, remember we killed 30 civilians there, including 8 children. Let me show you one of them. That was from an earlier raid. That's Abdulrahman Anwar al-Awlaki. He's a 16-year-old American that Obama killed in a drone strike. So now let me show you his sister who was killed in the Yemen raid. Nawar al-Awlaki. She's 8 years old. And she's among the kids that were killed in the Yemen raid. So she's, by the way, also an American citizen. We murdered an 8-year-old American girl and no one gave a damn. That is stunning. That's amazing.
And so, anyone who spoke up was called unpatriotic, trying to undermine the military. Sean Spicer was making that case.
So are you happy? You wanted the gloves taken off and you wanted their family members killed? Well, you just saw them. That was one of the girls that was murdered in Yemen. And we lost one of our own in Yemen. And what did we get? We were supposed to get a top terrorist in Yemen. We didn't get him at all. And then he went and taunted Donald Trump on Twitter. Fairly appropriate. So mission not accomplished. All we're doing so far is basically just butchering more civilians.
Yeah.
And when you do that, even if you don't care about them because you're a terrible person, if that's the case for you, I mean, raise your hand. Tell us how barbaric and indecent and inhumane you are. Okay, great, you're in that corner. Even if you don't care about them, what does that do? Every one of their families wants to come kill us. It creates dozens, hundreds of more people who now are enemies when they didn't need to be. But again, if you're a right winger, you don't think logically anyway. You're generally an ignorant person. So you probably think like, I don't know, but I murdered some other people that don't look like me. So I kind of feel good.
It's so, I mean, we've been trying to make that case. I mean, I've been here for 5.5 years. You've been trying to make that case for more than twice as long. Right wingers know if they hear that there's a terror attack in another country, they buy guns and barricade their doors to protect their family, to kill the hated outsiders. But for some reason, they can't imagine that if you literally bomb and kill family members of people, some of them might do the equivalent, the version of that in their country, which is joining an organization who tries to kill Americans. It still doesn't occur to them that there is not a finite supply of terrorists. There's not 300 terrorists, and if we just kill them, there won't be terrorism anymore, but that you can continually create new ones through a cycle of violence that we're doubling down on under Donald Trump.
Which led to one of the most famously dumb comments in American TV history from Joe Scarborough, who repeated over and over once when they were discussing the issue, they hate us because they hate us. They hate us because they hate us.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't look into why they hate us. We should just be blatantly, obviously stupid.
Exactly.
And now, so, by the way, one more quick fact for you guys. For all of you Trump supporters who say, well, at least we're not going to get into more messes in the Middle East and more wars. First of all, this seems like a lot of bombing and a lot of messes, but apparently we're not in. You say, well, there's no ground troops. Did you know that he deployed 500 new troops, American troops, into the middle of Syria? Oops.
Yep, and there's been rumblings from the military talking about the possibility of sending thousands more into both Syria and Iraq, sort of those trial balloons, but it could happen any day. And this idea that we don't need to worry as much about civilian casualties, which he was famous for during the primary, Ted Cruz was famous for saying we need to carpet bomb. They're apparently doing a version of that at this point, is not solely in Syria or in Iraq. It's also going to go to other regions. Here's some information coming from sources inside of the military about Somalia. Officials say Trump's decision that he just made approves a Pentagon request to allow more aggressive airstrikes in Somalia's southern region, It also allows American forces to increase assistance to the Somali National Army and other allies fighting Al-Shabaab, another terrorist group operating in multiple countries in that region. Portions of southern Somalia, excluding the capital of Mogadishu, will be considered a war zone. When they say aggressive airstrikes, they mean airstrikes where we don't really have to be sure of who's there. We don't really have to look at the damage that was done afterward. We just get really aggressive for a while. We showed you the charts. We showed you what aggressive airstrikes look like.
Yeah. Glenn Greenwald made a great point about this. Some in the mainstream media naively said, no, if Trump gives the order to kill the civilians and then their families, brave, patriotic American soldiers will stand up to him and not follow that order. Yeah, where's that happening? No, of course they're following the order. Look, I don't know about the guys doing the bombing, but the guys that are at the higher level seem to be enthusiastically enforcing these more aggressive strikes where we aggressively kill civilians. There's almost no talk of any success in any of these bombing strikes. Yeah. Believe me, if they got a high level ISIS or Al-Shabaab leader, they would never stop talking about it. Mm-hmm. So far, no high level terrorists killed, nothing but hundreds of civilians butchered, and they think that's a wonderful success. And by the way, he did promise it to you. So if you were unconcerned about Trump, well, we told you you should be concerned. He said not only would they go and kill all these people, but he would have Exxon take their oil fields. And our new Secretary of State is the CEO of Exxon. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so which leads us to our poll. Question for you guys, collateral damage. Would you execute three civilians if there was a 50% chance you could take out a terrorist compound? Now, I want you to seriously think about that. I'm not trying to do this because, oh, our audience is more progressive and you guys are going to say no. No, no, think about it. Like, if you take out a terrorist compound, those guys do kill people and you might save lives down the road. You might, right? Now, and normally in a strike, as you can see here, three civilians would be a very conservative number. Mm-hmm. They're killing dozens of civilians in these strikes.
If not hundreds,
right? And a 50% chance you get them, that is very high. In a lot of these, like in Yemen, we didn't get them at all. We didn't even come close to getting them, right? So I'm giving you a high percentage chance that you're going to get the terrorist compound, but you're going to have to kill three civilians, okay? So I'm curious about your answer. I don't think it's necessarily an easy answer. Go to tytnetwork.com/civilians. But before you answer that, let me show you some pictures. Now, these people that I'm about to show you are innocent. They didn't do anything. They're not. This is just stock photos, okay? So I'm partly showing it to you because they are innocent. Hold on. One at a time, okay? So that first group, if you saw them, the three young, appears Middle Easterners, I believe they're Tunisians. So three civilians, if those three guys die, well, we get a terrorist compound at least. Okay, now show me the next picture, as you saw there. Well, that is a family. That's a very young girl there. There's a middle-aged guy, but an older woman. Are you comfortable killing these three civilians as long as we kill and take out a significant terrorist compound? Now, we mentioned Somalia. Now, let's look at a family that might look a little bit more similar to what we might kill if we did a strike in Somalia. Now, I don't know. I hope some of you are beginning to get a little concerned. God knows, though. I'm going to show you one last picture. What if these were the three civilians we took out? Are you comfortable with that? We're going to take out a terrorist compound. We got a good 50% chance of taking out a terrorist compound. Now, these people are all innocent, and I don't mean to, you know, I feel bad using those stock photos of them, but I want you to get a sense of what we're talking about.
This is what three people look like.
That's what three people look like, okay? And I know that for a lot of you, you didn't change your mind on any of those pictures, and you thought there's no difference between those pictures. My guess is that for some of you, you looked at some of those pictures a little differently, and that it matters which of those three civilians got killed in that strike. But everyone you saw comes from stock pictures of having nothing to do with terrorism at all, and are all perfectly innocent.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do that? And now there's a lot of people in this country that are screaming, yes, yes, we're willing to do that. And the media, by the way, where are you? I thought you guys were all going to object when Trump did things wrong. I know you're obsessed with Russia and a couple of other things, but where are you guys? There was an 8-year-old American girl that was killed. Where are you guys? I thought you guys were going to make a big deal out of this.
Online media is covering it. Democracy Now, big expose about it.
That's right. But mainstream media, I see almost nothing about this. Okay. All right, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
We started out heavy, as I told you earlier, we will get much lighter. But before we do, some heavy duty policy on Planned Parenthood and how they are planning to defund it and how they're executing that plan. So again, if you thought Trump was going to make a difference, well, you were wrong about that. It's making a big, big difference. Yeah. And then now in North Carolina, we have a compromise on that bathroom bill, but is it worth a spit? Well, we'll discuss when we come back. All right, back on Young Turks, Cenk and John with you guys. Amy J. writes in, but 8-year-old girls are terrifying, Cenk, or at least they are when you're the biggest coward ever elected to U.S. office.
Yes.
Now, to be fair, Obama also authorized killing his 16-year-old son, who was also an American citizen. They say it was an accident.
And he killed tons of civilians.
Yeah. I don't believe them, by the way. I think that Anwar al-Awlaki, which is their dad, being killed, that they said was on purpose. Then, accidentally, in a completely different place, at a completely different time, weeks later, killing his 16-year-old son, fuck that, that was not an accident. Instead, there's no coincidence that large. And now, we killed his daughter. That is unbelievable. There is no coincidence that fucking large.
Just ask the same people, I'm sorry, we're not going to take this too long. Ask the same people who said, well, Obama did it. Ask them where were their complaints when he did it.
Yes, great question.
Were you complaining then, or were you saying, oh, Obama has his other issues that have nothing to do with that? Because you were okay with that too, by the way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, we made a huge deal out of it when Obama killed the Awlaki family, and we're making a huge deal out of it when Trump does it. Where were you guys? I don't mean you progressives. I mean all you Republicans out there. Were you bothered about extrajudicial killings with no due process at all, murder, execution of American citizens? How about when your boy Trump does it and murders an 8-year-old American girl with no due process?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about it? I haven't heard a goddamn word from you. All right. Beth Havens writes in, military-industrial complex sees creating more terrorists as job security, as far as I can tell. So for the defense contractors, there's an argument to be made, mission accomplished. I know that it doesn't help with terrorism. Great. That gives me more contracts in the future.
And more contracts to sell jets to Bahrain and Saudi Arabia.
And you think, come on, guys, that's very cynical. You really think those guys can be that bad? My answer is yes.
Their business is killing people.
That's literally how they make money. Alex C. writes in, this military operation is what happens when big money runs the country. Unfortunately, very true. Okay, now let's talk about small money. The guys that you guys are helping us to hire to actually be watchdogs to not let them get away with stuff like that. So $15 from Flay in Washington on this campaign, $27 from Janet in California, and $127 from Donna in Florida. Thank you all. Let me see tytnetwork.com/go. Wow, how did that happen?
Excellent. Big jump from yesterday.
Remember last night?
Holy shit, I asked for 45. It went up by like 1,000 donors.
Oh, yeah. And remember how we said that we were going to try to get to 540 last night, and it's at 555. Yeah. All right. God bless, guys. Let's keep it going. Once we get to 2 million, we're done with it. And last time we did one of these campaigns was 3 years ago. So it's about 30 days left in the Trump administration's first 100 days. So we'll be done with this either before then when we get to 2 million or at that point.
Take a break for 2-3 months.
No.
Hey, we want more journalists. Come on.
Yeah, tytnetwork.com/go, okay?
Okay.
All right, what's next?
More news for you. Today, Vice President Mike Pence cast the tie-breaking vote in the Senate that will allow states to defund Planned Parenthood across the country. Now, the House passed a resolution last month disapproving of the Health and Human Services rule, which in December of last year barred states from defunding Planned Parenthood or other Title 10 recipients for any reason other than the provider's, quote, ability to deliver services to program beneficiaries in an effective manner, which means that you can deny the funding if it turns out that they're not able to actually supply services and that sort of thing. But you can't simply take it down because you don't like what some of their clinics engage in your state or possibly in other states, like abortion services. So the Title 10 federal grant program enacted back in 1970 by Richard Nixon subsidizes preventive health care and family planning services for 4 million low-income Americans roughly half of whom are uninsured and thus desperately need those subsidies. Planned Parenthood serves about a third of those people. Now, in terms of context, 11 states have passed measures to block those funds from Planned Parenthood, despite the fact that Planned Parenthood is an incredibly popular organization. Now, if you bring up this poll, you might remember it from about a week or two ago, where Planned Parenthood there has a net plus 68 approval rating, making it the most popular organization in this Fox News poll, the same one that showed Bernie Sanders was the most popular politician in the country. So they are desperately trying to take away this funding, regardless of the damage it will do to extremely low-income Americans' abilities to get basic healthcare services, simply because they dislike one of the services that clinics like Planned Parenthood supply.
Okay, so two other things here that I think are really important to know. First is people think how Democrats are always weak. No. They say progressives are. It's like herding cats, trying to organize them, get them to be effective. No, not remotely true. Back in 1970, progressives were so strong that Richard Nixon was deathly afraid of them. Passed the EPA, passed OSHA, and look at this, the Title 10 here, to make sure he protected poor women. You think that's because Richard Nixon wanted to do that? No, Richard Nixon definitely did not want to do that, but he was so afraid of progressives and how strong they were, that he cowered to them. That's what happened back when politics was not drowned in money, when they had to actually represent the voters.
Yeah.
The voters in this country have been deeply progressive for a long, long time on every single issue. But they came in and Richard Nixon, because he was pissed about this stuff, put a couple of conservatives on the Supreme Court, and they decided that putting corporate cash into politicians' pockets was now legal. And that was well before Citizens United. That's what ruined the whole country. So this is Nixon's revenge on us. Yeah. But back then, we broke him. Okay? So just giving you historical context. Now, today, you fast forward to today. So Mike Pence yesterday was at an event where he was talking about empowering women. So I want you to understand something. Don't let the mainstream media deceive you. They're pretending like Donald Trump is some sort of monster that unlike we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans are all good, honorable gentlemen, but they're just, what could they do? Golly gee, there's this monster who's leading them now. No, they're all monsters.
Yeah.
Mike Pence is no less a monster. In fact, he works in the dark of night. And do you see the mainstream media going after Mike Pence in any way like they are after Donald Trump? Don't get me wrong, I think Trump totally deserves it. But so does Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. Mike Pence has been fighting against civil rights, against gay rights, against women's rights for his entire career. And he went down there, almost every Republican except to Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, not uncoincidentally.
The same two always.
They're more moderate women Republicans. Every other Republican, including Mike Pence, was like, yes! Low-income women who desperately need help with their health care, let's crush them.
Yeah.
So that's what the Republican Party is about. That's the face of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Now, this isn't the end. Donald Trump will sign it. He's been very clear about that. And of course, this now just opens up the way for states to take away these funds. And many of them will enthusiastically do it. And they'll be able to do it in far more states than you might think they should be able to, considering the divide between Democrats and Republicans in this country, since Republicans have taken over far more state houses than their numbers actually imply they should. But this should be another reminder of the cost of losing elections, because you actually had a couple of Republicans, as Cenk pointed out, cross over, and so it had to go to a tiebreaker cast by Mike Pence, who would not have been able to effing vote if Donald Trump hadn't actually won. So now, literally millions of people might lose access to health insurance, might be literally cast out as a result of that. God knows what could happen in terms of births, in terms of treating disease, all of that, because elections matter.
And by the way, they did that video attacking Planned Parenthood, proven to be doctored wrong by every single prosecutor that looked at it. And now, two of the people who did the secret recordings in California are facing 15 felony charges. Nonetheless, the Republicans, because they have no attachment to reality or the truth, are going around saying, well, the Planned Parenthood sells baby parts. It is not true. Your guys are going to jail because they lied about it. And you're still talking about how we should defund them anyway. It is not just Donald Trump. The Republican Party owns all those lies.
I can't believe that they're still talking about that goddamn video. It's been years since it was debunked. They still talk about Acorn. Reality has no attachment to politics in America.
But you know, look, the reason I get so mad at the mainstream media, and every day my anger towards them grows even more so, is because they pretend like it isn't so. They call it even. They call it even. Like they, well, the Republican Party, other than Donald Trump, are filled with honorable gentlemen who just happen to disagree. No, they did not sell baby parts. That's not a Republican say this and Democrats say that. That's all the prosecutors in all the different states, including all the Republican prosecutors locked into it. They did not sell baby parts. It's not true. Yet all those Republican senators and congressmen are going around saying it is true and defunding Planned Parenthood. Well, then call them what they are. Liars. You are now all of a sudden a little comfortable doing it with Donald Trump because he's not among your establishment friends.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your establishment buddies in the Republican Party, I can't call them liars. Oh my God, that would be so biased in favor of facts.
Mike Pence signed a bill requiring women to have funerals for aborted fetuses. How do you have him on without asking him a question about that? How is he allowed into a forum on empowering women? How did he get through the doors?
Now, the mainstream media, they disgust me because they give so much credibility to Mike Pence. You notice that every time. Oh, Trump. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, but Mike Pence came in.
Because he looks more like a regular Republican.
Yeah, oh, Mike Pence, he's an establishment guy. No, he's bringing stability to the Trump administration, where they do horrific things in the middle of the night with Mike Pence. But shh, don't talk about it on TV. Don't talk, because see, Mike Pence, he's one of us. He's an honorable gentleman.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn to another honorable gentleman. Mike Huckabee is now targeting Lindsey Graham for a couple of reasons. One, because he thinks that Lindsey Graham isn't being vocally supportive enough in saying he'll do anything to get Trump's proposed Supreme Court nominee onto the court. And also because he thinks that Graham has been a little bit too critical of Devin Nunes in his intelligence investigations. And so him being critical of Lindsey Graham isn't a surprise. But what is a bit of a surprise is the particular angle he uses to attack Lindsey Graham, which you're going to see in this clip.
You can always count on Lindsey Graham, can't you, Governor Huckabee?
Well, I'm very disappointed in Lindsey. I sometimes wonder what uniform he puts on each morning when he goes out to the field to play. And I'm not just talking about the partisan uniform, but I think to bring that kind of criticism and to call the chairman of the House Intel Committee, who is a person of integrity, to call him an Inspector Clouseau, to use those kind of terms basically to diminish him, it's very unfortunate. It's demeaning.
he just called him gay.
That's exactly what he did.
And yeah. In case it wasn't obvious, which, by the way, Mike, it was obvious, he then said, and I'm not just talking about his partisan uniform. Yeah, we know that you're calling him gay.
Yeah.
This guy wanted to be president, and we feared for a little while back during a more, I guess, sane time compared to Trump that he could be president. He just called Lindsey Graham gay.
Yeah. Now, it's not to say that Lindsey Graham isn't gay.
Yeah, exactly. And not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's right. And it's not to say that Lindsey Graham's hypocrisy on gay rights issues shouldn't be called out. And by the way, we don't know for sure what Lindsey Graham is or isn't.
I have no idea.
Now, those rumors have been swirling around for a long, long time. Now, the Republicans usually don't talk about him because they like to pretend that they're all straight and that their absolute obsession with gay sex is just because they care about family values, mm-hmm. right? So, if you want to criticize Lindsey Graham for being a hypocrite, great, God bless, go forward. In fact, I'm going to do that on a separate issue in just one second. But Mike Huckabee pretends to be the family values guy. But now all of a sudden, when you got to go dirty and you got to undercut mm-hmm. another Republican, which ironically he's criticizing Lindsey Graham for criticizing other Republicans.
Exactly.
But he's willing to do it in the dirtiest way possible.
Well, I think he was quoting Jesus, actually.
Oh, is that right?
When he did that, yeah. The uniform thing. Jesus was always talking about uniforms.
Yeah.
Now, look, Lindsey Graham has been, over the past decade, a little bit more rational on a couple of issues occasionally. And he has certainly been more willing to attack Donald Trump on a number of different issues. But that doesn't mean that he's some great guy or he doesn't deserve to be attacked. So let's attack him. So there we were talking about Neil Gorsuch and his chances of getting onto the court. And so Lindsey Graham had this to say. If you do not allow an up or down vote on this guy, then you don't care about traditions of the Senate. And you don't care about President Trump being treated fairly. The one thing I will not do is allow President Trump to be denied what every other president has had the ability to do, nominate qualified people. I'm not going to play the game two different ways, which, by the way, probably opened up another joke from Mike Huckabee. But let's move on from that. So there he's saying every other president gets to nominate these judges. How could you take that away? How could you have two sets of rules? Which is weird because I did some Googling and I found articles like this from last year. After meeting Merrick Garland, Graham stands by Supreme Court strategy of denying Barack Obama an up and down vote on his nominee. That's weird. Does he even know that Google exists?
So this is again what drives me crazy about the Republicans and the media. So they are notorious pathological liars. So this Lindsey Graham comes out, Obama, you're not going to get a hearing on Merrick Garland. I don't care. We're not even going to hear him out. I don't care how qualified he is.
And he says he's qualified. He says he's great.
Yeah, he said that about Merrick Garland, Obama's pick. He said it, right? And he said, I don't care what his positions are. We're for close to a year, we're not going to allow a vote, no up or down vote. Then, as if he never said that just a couple of months ago, he comes back around and goes, how dare the Democrats not allow an up and down vote if they don't care about the traditions of the Senate? I mean, what an unbelievable liar. Mm-hmm. What a brazen liar. But TV, when Lindsey Graham comes in, oh, they're like, oh, the beloved and honorable Lindsey Graham. They love Lindsey Graham because every once in a while he'll tweak the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe we shouldn't torture so many people. Oh, the honorable Lindsey Graham, right? And also, but the real reason they love Lindsey Graham is because he's the senator from Lockheed Martin. Mm-hmm. John McCain and Lindsey Graham haven't met a defense contractor that they didn't want to make love to. So, I mean, you want to talk about their real proclivities? That's their proclivities. They take buckets of cash from defense contractors, and every time they vote for war, and more war, and more bombing. The reason that they tweak Trump is because he might not want to go to war with Russia. He might not want to go to further hostilities in Syria. Yeah. Don't worry, Lindsey, you'll get all the wars you want with Donald, okay? Exactly, yeah. But that's the only reason he criticizes. But the mainstream media, as if he's honorable, he's a goddamn obvious, notorious liar. You just saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
So the way to criticize Lindsey Graham is not based on who he's sleeping with. It's unless it's
defense contractors, to be fair.
Yes. It's the reality is he's an enormously, disgustingly corrupt politician.
Yes.
You ever see that on TV? All you'll ever see on TV, even from the so-called progressives or whoever the hell they think they are on TV, so from the so-called neutral people, they will never point out the amount of money he's taking from defense contractors, and they will never point out what kind of an unbelievable liar he is, which you now see with your own eyes. And if you don't believe our video, go Google all day, all night. You will see Lindsey Graham saying Merrick Garland should not get an up or down vote. Presidents don't need to get an up or down vote. Now saying Trump must get an up or down vote. How dare they prevent an up and down vote?
Yeah.
And that wasn't decades ago. That wasn't years ago. That was just a couple of months ago. One last thing. Lindsey Graham also a goddamn liar when it comes to, oh, the traditions of the Senate. When the Republicans were in the minority, oh, the traditions of the Senate, like the filibuster, must be protected so we can block every single thing that Obama does. Mm-hmm. Now the traditions of the Senate, traditions of the Senate, screw the traditions of the Senate. I never cared about him. I was just messing with you, you idiot Democrats and you idiot pundits on television. You all believed me and you all spewed my lies, and I can always count on you to be my suckers. Yeah. When in fact, I am an open and notorious liar, Lindsey Graham.
Yes. Two very final quick updates on the path to get Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. One, every day I am more sure. I wasn't at first. I'm sure now. They should do, the Democrats, I don't know what they can do at this point because the Republicans don't care about the traditions of the Senate or rules or whatever. They should do anything it takes to never put a person on that Supreme Court until there's a Democratic president. This situation needs to be resolved. That is the only fair resolution. So that's my position. But much more importantly, in terms of the actual vote, it was announced today that two Democrats have said that they will actually support his nomination. Guess who it is? Manchin Heidkamp.
Of course! Not only will they not filibuster, because they're cowardly Democrats, they will vote yes. They will vote yes.
Okay, so if they do that, why would a Republican under a Democratic president ever allow a vote on a Supreme Court nominee?
They think, no, these idiots, they'll bend over every time. So we can do whatever we want when they're in charge. And then when we're in charge, they'll let us go all night and all long No Vaseline.
Shut down D.C. if that's what it takes. Don't let anything happen if that's what it takes. You cannot allow this strategy to succeed.
Guys, it's 2.5. Can you guess the third, the 0.5 that she's torn? I give you half the clue.
Claire McCaskill?
Claire McCaskill is not sure. She's like, I mean, I'm a little worried. I'm scared. Yeah. And by the way, you guys have it wrong. It has nothing to do with defense contracts. It has nothing to do with party and partisan affiliations. You forgot. Mike Huckabee said he's gay.
Okay.
Okay. The fucking Democrats. Anyway.
Well, in this case, and those particular Democrats.
Okay, okay.
The other Democrats largely are going to filibuster, which doesn't matter at this point.
I'm trying to contain myself, but I can't. Okay, so they really believe it, man. When we said, I just said a couple days ago, we're going to primary Manchin and, and Heitkamp. All over social media, idiot Democratic establishment people going like, oh, yeah. Why don't you just hand the seat to the Republicans in West Virginia? Oh, yeah. I guess you just want to help the Republicans. Am I there?
We don't need to hand the seat to them. They're already going to vote for the Republican nominees.
They're going to vote for a guy who's more conservative than Gorsuch. You already handed the seat to a Republican. His name is Joe Manchin. Okay. What good is he? If there's, and you're so monumentally wrong on strategy. PCCC did polling in a bunch of states. There are in open seats from blue states to purple states to red states. West Virginia was one of them. And yes, West Virginia is very conservative now on a lot of different issues. Mm-hmm. What is the one line of attack that was most successful on Neil Gorsuch? When they pointed out how pro-corporate his decisions were. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, even in West Virginia, over 60% say, fuck him. But yet, Joe Manchin's genius strategy in West Virginia is, I'm a centrist Democrat, and so I'm going to vote for Gorsuch because he's so pro-big business. Fucking moron. And look.
Good, we can use it in the ads in the primary.
Yeah, Manchin, he's gone. His career, political career is already over. The only question is whether he's going to lose to a Democrat in the primary or he's going to lose to a Republican in the general election. There's no way a light Republican like Joe Manchin beats an actual Republican when he hands him everything he wants. You're right about this, you're right about that, you're right about this. The Republicans are right about everything, but vote for me anyway? That's his winning strategy? Joe Manchin is a ghost. He's already gone. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to go after Obama. So, a strategy that he had during the campaign will infuriate you, Young Turks. All right, $15 from Sally in Michigan, $27 from Jeffrey in Florida, and $50 from Steve in North Carolina. Thank you, guys. Chris Allen writes in, people still believing in Pizzagate, so of course they would still believe the Planned Parenthood video. Fair point. Will Fern.
Did you see the update on that, by the way? Why he apologized? There was a lawsuit pending. He had a certain deadline to apologize for to try to not get the financial penalties, and so he narrowly snuck in the apology before the deadline.
Alex Jones, of course he did. Yeah. That's why they were all.
He wasn't being rational.
That's why they were all attacking me on Twitter that other night, because they got all like emotional because they're little snowflakes.
Yeah, yeah.
That I pointed out that he was a bitch.
Oh, no, he's also a bitch. He had to come out and say the Republicans didn't vote to sell your private internet data. That's just Democratic spin. So now that Trump won, he has to defend what every establishment Republican does in the Senate. He's totally just glomming on and holding onto their leg as they drag him into the swamp.
I love it, you.
You little. I can say it, we're not in a clip. You bitch, Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Illuminati.
Bitch false, confirmed.
False flag operation. Okay. Will Fern Fonseca says, I bet you anything that Huckabee has some gay tendencies he's trying to hide. Dropkick Jimmy says.
That's fine if he does.
Dropkick Kimmy says, Republicans' number one method is to accuse those for the things they do themselves. It's literally their MO. Certainly true. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got more stories for you. Let's do it.
We do.
Oh, sorry, before we go on, I knew there was one other thing. Just breaking news right now, Mike Flynn apparently offering to testify in exchange for immunity. This is a story that I brought you a little bit earlier. And at the time, people were like, no, Mike Flynn's not going to do that. It's speculation. It was a CNN guest who had actually mentioned it first. Mm. And she took a lot of heat, not me. She took a lot of heat for saying that. Well, it turns out he is offering immunity. But here's the fun part of the story. No one's taking him up on it. Yeah, he offered the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the FBI. He's like, I will testify in exchange for immunity, and I'll tell you all I know. And they're like, no.
He offered it to TMZ. They're still considering the offer. Which could mean that he doesn't have anything, or it could mean that they already know what he knows or what he did.
That's right.
They don't need his immunity.
And plus, when you go begging to them for immunity, they've got leverage.
Yeah.
So they're going to strike a little bit of a different deal. But I love the idea of like all those Trump guys being like, oh, Mike Flynn's a patriot. You know, I can't believe how he was treated by the media. He was treated so roughly and unfairly, as if Trump's not the one who fired him. So
exactly.
What's going to be awesome is when Mike Flynn turns evidence against Trump, and all those same guys will then turn around and go, oh, Mike Flynn's a traitor. I knew it. I knew Mike Flynn was the worst. Yeah. I knew it.
JR, could you prep the first half of that montage, please?
I was literally just thinking. Oh, really? I got to go back and find it.
Okay. Okay, so let's the very interesting development. God knows what will happen by tomorrow on that. But let's move on to one more story in what remains of the first hour. A new report by Newsweek reveals that FBI head James Comey apparently intended to reveal the current state of the federal investigation into Russian influence in last year's election months before Election Day, but was stopped by, at least from my point of view, a fairly surprising source. So Comey went to a Situation Room meeting back in June or July, according to sources, and announced that he hoped to write an op-ed, presumably in a major newspaper, detailing Russian meddling in the election. So June or July, it feels so long ago at this point. A quote from the source says, he had a draft of it or an outline. He held up a piece of paper in a meeting and said, I want to go forward. What do people think of this? They said that the meeting included Secretary of State John Kerry, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, and Susan Rice as well. So another source confirmed that the Obama White House killed Comey's idea of coming forward back in June or July, describing it as they're doing their usual thing, nothing, but shutting it down. And a DOJ spokesman and an Obama spokesman reportedly declined to comment on this new revelation.
Okay, so this is Obama 101. So let me explain why. Number one, all he cares about is me, my legacy. So James Comey comes out there and talks about Hillary Clinton might have new emails through Anthony Weiner's laptop, makes a giant mess of it. And he's like, huh, interesting, whatever, right? Comey comes out and says, well, the Russians might be trying to fix the election. He's like, oh, well, that will seem biased if we point that out. And now, to be fair, Comey did the trick on the Anthony Weiner stuff much later than this summer.
Arguably more damaging.
Yeah, and by the way, though, at that point, they could have been like, Comey, why don't you talk about the thing that, about the Russians, which we know you have. But Obama's so above it. He's not above it when he's running his own campaigns. But when it's somebody else's campaign, it's the Democratic Party, it's the American people, he's like, no, I'll seem biased. So I will protect my legacy and not do a damn thing.
Yeah.
Classic Obama. Okay, point number two, classic miscalculation. Oh yeah, we'll win anyway, it doesn't matter. And that, he doesn't have to say that stuff, it's not a big deal. Just, you know, take it easy, man. How many times have they miscalculated? No, the Republicans will work with us. If we're reasonable and we have a beer summit with them, we just have to wait a couple of years for them, for the fever to break. How many has it broken yet? How many miscalculations have they had? And then finally, hubris. We're gonna win anyway. Don't worry about it. There's no way Trump can win. We got this thing locked up. So let's not use the advantages that we have. Let's not use the truth in this case. Now, Comey wasn't gonna go over the top and say the Russians are working with Trump. He was just gonna say the Russians are trying to affect the election.
Yeah, which doesn't mean hack voting machines. It means influence it in a variety of different ways.
But everybody knew that the Russians were not on Hillary Clinton's side. They were on Donald Trump's side. Everybody knew that during the election. That if they supported any candidate, it certainly wasn't Hillary Clinton. And they were, Trump at that point was in a love fest with Vladimir Putin, and everybody would have known what they meant.
Yeah.
And the other part of the miscalculation was, no, we'll do a joint letter later, and we'll make it really benign and release it to the public. Yeah, they did do that at some point, and no one cared. Whereas if Comey had actually done a big op-ed, everybody would have flipped out.
Well, we know they would, because he did it on another issue, and people flipped out. Yeah, and look, I understand that it does seem like Obama, but also, I wish that he was, as you say, it's hubris. I wish that he was as cautious with his electoral strategy for other Democrats as he is with like his sentence structure when he's speaking outside of a campaign. Like he paces himself then. You fool. If you're worried about your legacy, which nobody aside from presidents understands what the big deal about legacies is. We're just going to make shit up later anyway, Obama. You can't control it. But if you're really worried about your legacy, you know what damages your legacy? Not an op-ed by James Comey that people will forget in 6 months. What damages your legacy is Donald Trump systematically dismantling your legacy and taking away everything that you worked for 8 years. That's what destroys the legacy.
But he's so calm and cool. Oh, I'm indifferent. We get progressive policies, we don't get them. We get progressive victories, we don't get them. I'm so cool, I'm Obama, I don't care.
And by the way, so is he going to get credit? This report comes out, he stopped it from coming out. All the Republicans think, thanks to Trump, that Obama's moved behind the scenes, even to this day, trying to hurt Trump, trying to help Hillary Clinton. But now we have apparently evidence that he could have had a big effect, chose not to. How much credit is he going to get for Republicans and from conservatives around America?
Yeah. Yeah. So thank
None.
You, John.
Negative credit, somehow. He'll get negative credit.
So, two important things that come out of that. One is Obama kept thinking, no, if I'm quote unquote fair and I. Why would you be fair? You're a Democrat. What does that mean? Why would you be fair to your opponents? That makes no sense. Then you're unfair to your voters who actually wanted you to pass progressive policies. But he never talks about it because he wants to get credit to pat on the back from the media, right? And do you ever get it? You don't get it anyway.
You don't get it anyway.
Is anybody coming out here going, oh, you know what? Are the Republicans rushing out to say in front of the cameras, no, it turns out we were wrong about Obama. He was actually super fair. He helped us win the election, idiot. But anyway, he was super fair, right? No one gives you credit for that. But he never learned in 8 years of reaching out and reaching out because he wasn't trying to get credit from the Republicans. That's what you got to understand. He was trying to get credit from the media. Because, what's my reputation? What are they saying on TV? What is David Brooks writing in the New York Times? What is Joe Scarborough saying? Oh my God, my legacy. What will people think of me? I am Obama. Right?
That's why Obama looks up all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
How'd that turn out?
Not good.
And second of all, is anybody talking about, hey, Trump said, just like you said, Trump said that Obama fixed the election or wiretapped him, etc. Turns out, if anything, he helped you in winning the election. And anybody going to complain about that? And of course, most of the Democrats, and that's why we get under their skin, they love to bow their heads these days, right? The establishment Democrats are like, they just criticized Obama. Obama was our dear leader. Aren't we authoritarians? No, that's the other party.
Yeah.
That's the other party. We're not authoritarian. We're not supposed to bow our head to our dear leader. You said all along, by the way, remember all those Obama supporters? Oh, thank you for reminding me of this, John. Remember when they all said that he plays three-dimensional chess and that we at the Young Turks were just not sophisticated enough to pick it up? Because as progressives, we're children. We're just emotional and we just want things. You know, and we don't know how to get it. We don't know. We're not practical about politics.
Yeah.
So now explain to me, Obama supporters in the Democratic Party, what part of three-dimensional chess winds up with a Donald Trump as president?
Turns out it's four-dimensional chess.
Yeah, that would appear to be another dimension completely. So can I get all of you Democratic establishment hacks to admit that Obama was never playing three-dimensional chess, never had any idea how to beat Republicans. He just gave in to them because that was his nature. Yeah. I was right. And you were wrong.
I was in the middle.
Okay. by the way, it's just a random fun note to end on. That picture makes James Comey look like he's from north of the wall.
Yeah.
it's like at least Hodor, but probably a giant.
No.
Because Obama's not a little guy.
Obama's from the Shire. He handed him his letter and said, keep it secret, keep it safe.
James Comey looks like makes Shaq look like a kid next to him in that picture. Because Obama's like over 6 foot tall. He's not a short guy.
Yeah. That's why Obama looks up all the time, because James Comey is talking to him.
Anyways, okay guys. We got to take a break here. When we come back to North Carolina ruling, Mike Pence, and what a cuck. Oh, you're going to love this Mike Pence story. Cuck-a-rama. When we return.
That show is weird.